The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studios. Welcome. Welcome to The Big Show. It's the weekend almost upon us. Glad you're here on the stormy Friday afternoon edition of the Dory Monson Show. We have some exclusive news for you here in the Big Lead, and lots of other stuff that's just flying at us on another busy news day. Glad you're here. Let's get right to the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top story.
Hey, before I get into the Big Lead, I heard in Aaron's newscast that State Senator Doug Erickson, who's a really good friend of this radio show, that he's in bad shape down in El Salvador. And Nicole got this information because, and Nicole, I'll have you jump in here. You were texting with Senator Erickson, and he's asking for these monoclonal antibodies that are not available in El Salvador. And I know he has people up here, and I know that you're trying to make some contacts as well to see if there's anything any of us can do for this guy, right?
Right, yeah. Well, we had seen a letter that he had sent out to some of the other senators, and I asked him if that was true, and he responded, yes, that he was in bad shape. I think that he said touch and go down there, and I asked what we could do to help, and he hasn't got back to me yet, so I'm in working with his assistant, I think, to get more information. So I'll let you know what I find out.
Okay. I said a prayer for him right before we started the show today. He's a man of very strong faith, and he's an important voice down in Olympia. So God bless State Senator Doug Erickson, who does a lot of philanthropic work, and undoubtedly that's why he was down in El Salvador and has gotten very ill, apparently, from COVID. Okay, let's get into the Big Lead now. This first story is very disturbing, but it must be told, because when Jay Inslee and Dow Constein and Jenny Durkin, when they all said, we need to fire first responders who don't have the vax. I talked to police officers, I talked to firefighters, I talked to paramedics, and they all told me the same story. And that was, people are going to die because of this decision. Seattle police is just a little over half the number of officers that they had a year ago, and laying off or firing 100 of them who were unvaxxed certainly deepened that problem. Same thing has happened with our firefighters and our paramedics. And everybody warned us that people are going to die. And the mandate is useless. We talked about that yesterday. Bill Gates says he's the first national voice to say that the vax does not stop the spread of COVID-19, which makes mandates absolutely worthless. But this is about power and control. And Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin and Dow Constein, they would rather have more power and control. And if there are some deaths that go along with that, well, then there are going to be some deaths. This is the story of a 13-year-old boy who was trying to save his father. They lived in an apartment, and the boy called 911 because he could see that his dad was having some sort of medical crisis. The kid did not know what. And the response to the 911 call was delayed. And the reason it was delayed, according to first responders, is because of the staffing crisis. I want to give credit to my colleague, Jason Rance, who broke this story. And Jason's going to be on with me at in the 2 o'clock hour today to talk more about it. But it's up at mynorthwest.com right now. When Seattle Fire first arrived at the apartment, they were told to wait for the police before entering because they had an address that had been flagged as unsafe to enter. And the protocol is that police have to be there when firefighters go into an address that is on the unsafe to enter list. And this was at a time when that police precinct was down 2 officers. They had some volunteers in that day so that they could have minimum staffing levels. So it took Seattle police 15 minutes to arrive, and so the medics couldn't get in to perform their life-saving measures for those 15 minutes. And the father died. Now, I know it's always a little bit controversial when we play 911 calls. I will tell you, I talked to Jason right before the show, and he said that he was very reserved in what he pulled, because he said the stuff that's just heartbreaking is in these 911 calls too, with this 13-year-old boy. And we don't want to exploit that. But I want to give you a sense. I am going to play a couple of short 911 clips here, because I want everybody to understand that we, on this show, I predicted it, I guess who predicted it, that if they fire first responders over a mandate that has now been proven to be useless, that response times, of course, were going to go down. And that this 13-year-old kid likely watched his father die because of that. And Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin and Dow Constein, they need to own this. It's unbelievable. Here's the first clip of this 13-year-old boy calling 911 to come and help his dad.
Okay, how old is he?
Dad, grief. He's like 45.
Okay. Is he awake? Is he conscious?
I don't know. I think, he's conscious, but he's not okay.
And then a little bit later in that call.
Look at his chest and tell me if it's rising and falling.
Barely.
Okay, is it
almost
moving?
Not at all.
So almost not at all or not at all?
Almost not at all. Almost.
Okay, and then there's much more to these calls that we are not going to share with you because they're heartbreaking. It's just absolutely heartbreaking. When Jenny Durkin put in her vaccine mandate, after Seattle police, they were already down hundreds of officers this year alone because of attrition and laterals who got out because of the cop hatred that exists in politics here in our region. And then Jenny Durkin and Jay Inslee, they put in the vaccine mandate knowing that they were going to lose a bunch more cops, knowing that it was going to slow response times, knowing that people would die. And this 13-year-old kid watched his father die with Seattle fire right outside the door, because if they had violated protocol on an unsafe-to-enter address that's in the system, then there would have been hell to pay. We've seen what's happened to our first responders. I mean, there's an all-out assault on them. And because of the staffing shortages, the police were 15 minutes delayed in responding. The kid called at 1:24 p.m. to tell them about his dad's medical emergency. And they dispatched Seattle Fire 2 minutes later at 1:26 p.m. And then, as I said, they were not allowed to enter until the police arrived. And the police didn't get there until 1:37, 13 minutes later. So the firefighters had to wait for 7 minutes outside of that apartment while the kid's father was dying in front of them. I'm telling you this story not as an I told you so, but I want you to know that Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin and Dow Constein, they knew that this was going to be a consequence of their mandate. They consider fathers dying in front of their 13-year-old sons to just merely be collateral damage, so that they can galvanize power over us, have control. We got them all wearing masks. Now we'll get them to inject stuff. And a man likely died because of that. The cure is proving to be much worse than the disease. I hope that Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin and Dow Constein, I hope they listened to that entire 911 call, not just the clips we played you, so they could hear what's going on with this kid. Just awful. It's just absolutely awful. All right, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Last July, a 53-year-old man named Greg Moore, he went out for a long run on a summer Sunday morning. He liked to go even before the sun was up. And he would go for 14-mile runs on the weekends. His wife was leaving for work at 7 a.m. She was shocked that Greg wasn't home yet because he was always home before she left for work. She knew something was wrong, and something was horribly wrong. Turns out a 15-year-old girl had allegedly stolen a relative's vehicle and intentionally hit Greg Moore at 50 miles an hour as he was jogging by the side of the road. She and her 14-year-old passenger laughed as Greg Moore's body went flying over the vehicle, according to court records. Greg Moore flew into a ditch and was dead. His wife, Michelle, who I've become very fond of, she's been on the show many, many times, she texted me earlier this week and said, this is unbelievable. This 15-year-old girl, who at most is going to be in jail until 21 if she's convicted of these charges. It's a second-degree murder charge that she's facing, but she's not being charged as an adult, which I find disgusting. Greg Moore's wife texted me and said, this 15-year-old girl may get out of detention on Monday, 3 days from now. How can that be? How can a 15-year-old girl who allegedly killed a man, and there's also video evidence that she did the same thing to some other guy by the side of the road, but they haven't found that victim yet. But this is somebody who's gone so wrong in life. How do they dare let her out? But that's what they're trying to do until her trial, and we don't even have a trial date yet. They want her out. A girlfriend's mom said, oh, she can stay at our house. So she'll just be hanging out with a girlfriend. She can go to school. She can laugh. She can enjoy freedom. Meanwhile, Greg Moore's family is just in a permanent state of hell, knowing what this girl allegedly did to their loved one. And then you may recall, Dan Satterberg, the King County prosecutor, when he first explained why he was not charging this girl as an adult, it was some of the most infuriating comments I've heard in a long, long time.
Juvenile court exists for a reason, and it exists for 15-year-old girls who do stupid things. She didn't intend to kill anybody. There's no proof of that at all. The proof is that she intended to bump him, and we all know how incredibly dangerous that is.
She intended to bump him at 50 miles an hour? She didn't mean to kill him? This 15-year-old didn't have any knowledge of physics whatsoever, knowing that a car going 50 miles an hour hitting a very fit, thin man running by the side of the road, she just was trying to bump him? I was sick when I heard Dan Satterberg say that. My dog knows basic physics. If I pull into the driveway, my dog knows don't get near the tires of the car, because if it rolls over me, it'll crush me and kill me. We have two sets of rockeries in our backyard. My dog will jump off the first rockery to the lawn and jump from the lawn onto the first rockery. He won't jump from or to the second rockery because my dog knows basic physics. But a 15-year-old kid doesn't? Unbelievable. Michelle Moore is going to come on with me right after the news at 12:30 to talk about this family once again, just having their hearts torn apart because we have people who want to release an alleged killer so that she can enjoy all the perks of freedom. All right, next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
Meanwhile, Jay Inslee still over in Scotland talking climate change. Our state is hitting record numbers of shootings and murders. Two more people were shot last night. They're both in critical condition. They were taken to Harborview. The shooter, as are most shooters, in Seattle at least, is still at large. These cases are all going unsolved. You know how many murders and gun felons we have running around in our region right now? It's staggering. Then there was this, a father of a young man who was randomly, they say, killed outside of a bar in Pioneer Square. He is now speaking out about that shooting a couple of weeks ago. His name is Tony Summers, and he talked to Fox 13, and he said that his son was just leaving the club when the gunfire rang out.
He was just there and trying to get out the way, and just like everybody else, and he just was senselessly killed. No reason.
And this dad got a call in the middle of the night that is every human being's worst nightmare.
They wouldn't tell us anything, and then come to find out, he wasn't even there. He had died at the scene, and nobody told us.
And he told Fox 13 that it's just hard to go on after this.
I love to watch him. It was just a beautiful thing to watch. Now I'm so proud of him. It wasn't supposed to be him. It was not. And it just tears my heart up. It hurts my heart so bad. It hurts. I don't even know what to do. It's hard to go on.
And he used a phrase that I would challenge, but I understand this man's in horrible grief.
I'm just hoping they can do more than just talk, because all it ever seems to be is talk.
He says that he wants to do something about gun violence. Now, we need to do something about criminals and about crime and this poor dad.
If I could trade places with him right now, I would trade in a heartbeat. I live my life. I'm good. I had a great life. I had a great time. He was just maturing. He was just figuring out his way. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. I love to just watch him.
Tony Summers, whose son Anthony was randomly killed in Pioneer Square. And this is what's going on and on and on in our region while our elected leaders are talking about climate change. It's unbelievable. And that is your big lead for today.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
We're going to check the news for you. And then Greg Moore's wife, the jogger who was killed, his wife, Michelle, she's going to join us next here on the Dory Monson Show. A tragic local story that we've spent a lot of time covering since July. It was early on a Sunday morning, July 18th, when Greg Moore, a very avid runner, he had gone out for a long, long Sunday morning run. And that's when a 15-year-old SeaTac girl who had stolen a relative's car, she told everybody she was intending to bump Greg Moore, as she put it. She wanted to scare him. She and the 14-year-old in the car laughed as they saw his body fly over the car. And a couple of hours later, Greg Moore was found dead in a ditch next to a church where the girl bumped him. The girl has been in detention. She's facing juvenile murder charges, which means the most she would get would be just until she's 21 years old. It's a awful story, but gets even more awful. The girl might get out next week and be free. Michelle Moore is Greg Moore's wife. She joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Michelle, it's good to talk to you again, but once again, I'm sorry for the circumstances.
Yeah, me too. Thank you, Dory.
Well, you're the one who let me know about this. So what are you hearing about the possible release of this 15-year-old girl?
So it's something that the defense is pushing for. There's a detention hearing taking place at 1:30 on Monday. She could get released to apparently the mother of her girlfriend and live quite comfortably and go to school and, you know, have a nice little life, because apparently she doesn't like being detained. You know, it's
really
it's not comfortable. And so she would rather live with her girlfriend.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Who told you about this? How did you find out that they are thinking about this?
I was told. I have a victim's advocate that I am working with through the court system, and she alerted me to this a couple weeks ago, that the defense was going to be making a request and bringing in experts. And then I found out at the beginning of the week, this week on Monday, exactly what it was that they were requesting. I kind of suspected that that's what they were going to be seeking, and yeah. I got confirmation of that on Monday.
What went through your heart and your mind and your gut when you got that call and were told that she might be free as early as next week?
You know, I would like to say shock, but I don't even think that that's the right word, because I'm not really shocked anymore. I almost am anticipating, you know, these ridiculous requests at this point, because everything has gone that way so far, you know. And I honestly don't think that this request is going to be granted, but who the hell knows? It's like we're living in an alternate universe, and she's the victim, you know? So I don't know. I don't know how this will play out.
I hope you're right about that, but we have a county executive who has embraced the no youth jail mantra. And I mean, part of that is that kids, even if they're rapists or murderers, that kids should not go to jail. And that includes 15-year-olds who, you know, bump a jogger and kill him. And so I hope you're right that it won't be granted, and we'll certainly keep everybody posted next week. But there are very powerful forces that are trying to get not just child criminals, but a lot of criminals released from jail.
You know, and I don't understand it, Dory. I mean, I identify as, you know, towards the progressive side personally, but I mean, not putting people in jail doesn't stop crime. It emboldens criminals. It has the opposite effect of what we want as a society. And if Greg Moore, running, minding his own business on a beautiful July morning, isn't safe, who is? No one is.
No.
There's no, you know, Maple Valley is generally a safe community. They came out from CTAP to cause trouble, and trouble they caused. You know, there is no such thing as a safe place when nobody does anything and nobody is held accountable for the actions that they take.
Well, and I know how disgusted you were because you had not heard the comments by Prosecutor Dan Satterberg until I called you and played them for you on the show. And just the way he was describing it, that it was a prank, that she just meant to bump him at 50 miles an hour. It really is disgusting to me how everybody in the system seems to be downplaying the intentional murder of your husband. It's just, and if I am this worked up and angry and distraught by this, Michelle, I can't even begin to imagine what you're going through.
Yeah, that's my default setting now. You know, I'm constantly, unfortunately, this occupies, you know, most of my brain power is this. This fight that I'm fighting and this injustice. And, you know, I didn't sign up for this. I mean, you know, Greg and I were just, you know, a happy, quiet couple living our lives, you know, looking forward to our first grandchild and our future together. And she stole all of that from me.
Yeah.
It boggles my mind that there's a chance that she is going to be able to just get out. You know, it would be until sentencing. So she would be living with her girlfriend and her girlfriend's mom until the trial and then the sentencing. And then she's going to be sent to Echo Glen, it sounds like, which sounds like a lovely environment. You know, there's cooking classes and there's canine therapy. And, you know, it's nestled in the towering trees of Snoqualmie. It looks like, you know, hell, I want to go there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a punishment. It's not a punishment.
And this is a kid who obviously has no moral compass. At age 15, you should know enough about basic physics to know that you can't bump a man at 50 miles an hour with a car. And it's still believed that there's another victim out there who still hasn't come forward, because I mean, they have ample evidence that she hit another guy, right? Another hit and run?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. There's Amazing. Video. There's video of that.
Yeah.
But that didn't, you would think that would escalate the charges, but it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I still don't know why that second victim hasn't come forward. Somebody knows that somebody's missing or somebody is busted up from that, and I'm baffled by that one. Well, I'm really appreciative that you brought this to my attention, Michelle. I'm glad we can get the word out, and I hope that we have enough public officials hearing your side of things, because like you said, it seems like everybody is just looking at the girl's side of things and not the victim's. And I want people to hear your thoughts on this before any decision is made on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if your listeners have any interest in protesting, I am encouraging people to protest down at the Patricia H. Clark Juvenile Family Court on Capitol Hill at 12:30 on Monday. I have a lot of friends and family that are going to show up and, you know, exercise their constitutional rights and let their voices be heard, because this is not justice.
No, not in the slightest. Do you know when the trial is going to be?
I don't.
Okay. And finally, has your grandbaby arrived yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
She will be here by the end of the month, it sounds like.
Okay. I hope when that happens, Michelle, you know, I've talked to many, many times, and I'm very fond of you. And I hope when the grandchild comes that'll, because I know you said this is just all consuming what happened to Greg, but I hope that will bring so much new joy and love into your family and into your heart. You deserve it.
Thank you. It's what's getting me through the days for sure.
I understand. All right. We'll stay in touch and we'll follow up on this next week. Okay, Michelle?
Okay. Thanks for your support, Dory.
Absolutely. Anytime. All right. Michelle Moore, the wife of Greg Moore, who was killed on a summer Sunday morning while jogging by a 15-year-old girl who said she wanted to pull a prank and hit him at 50 miles an hour. It's unbelievable. The girl may get released on Monday. We will stay on top of that. And if you want to help their cause, be there at 12:30 up there on Capitol Hill on Monday afternoon. All right, some of your thoughts, you can text me at 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, the Bidenflation is running rampant. In October versus October of last year, inflation's up more than 6%, the biggest jump, yearly jump in more than 30 years. And Joe Biden has caused all of this, all of it, by pumping trillions of dollars into an economy. And everybody knows that dumping all that money into the economy was going to be brutal for inflation. But back, let me go back to July 19th, when Joe Biden actually said this.
I was on inflation. You mentioned unchecked inflation.
There's nobody suggesting there's unchecked inflation on the way. No serious economist.
No serious economist. That was in July, is saying that unchecked inflation's on the way. Well, unchecked inflation is here. So I went to the grocery store this morning. I couldn't believe my eyes. The 80-20 ground beef, that's not even the lean stuff. 80-20 is the best for a burger, though. You got to have a little fat in your burger. $7.49 a pound for 80-20 ground beef. Now, if you have a club card, it was $5.99 a pound. I've never seen anything close to that in my life. It's happening with everything. bacon, chicken, everything. Everything is just wild inflation. If you need to buy a car, good luck. New cars, used cars, every dealership's having trouble with inventory. And then you have the energy. A big part of this is what's happened to gas prices, which has been caused by Joe Biden. We only have half the number of oil rigs operating today that we had 2 years ago before COVID because of Joe Biden. But Joe Biden said he was going to declare war on the oil companies. Remember during the campaign, he even said that he was thinking about putting oil company executives in prison? Well, yeah, when an entire industry has the president of the United States declare war on that industry, it has an effect. He shuts down a pipeline. He's thinking about shutting down another pipeline. But the Russian pipeline was okay. And nobody in this country has the guts to do what needs to be done because we are so far away from being able to be powered by wind and solar. It's so unrealistic to think that that's not going to be in my lifetime. Nuclear is how we could get powered. It's clean. It's not like Chernobyl nuclear, Three Mile Island nuclear. Russia's doing it. China's doing it. Why? Because they want cheap power for their people. They want to lift the living standards of their people. And so China and Russia are developing more nuclear power plants. In the United States, people would freak out and they'd scream Chernobyl, you know, even though there's no, they need another word or name for nuclear power so people don't automatically associate it with its predecessor. Joe Biden, that was back in July, but it was Kamala Harris in Paris, and she was talking about inflation and how hard it is for people. They're all admitting it.
Let's start with this. Prices have gone up, and families and individuals are dealing with the realities that bread costs more, that gas costs more.
Yeah, and that your president has caused all of it.
If everything you're paying this much for a gallon of gas, in some parts of California, they're paying $4.50 a gallon.
Bidenflation, that's why. I realized those. I was at the grocery store. There is one group of people that is not affected at all by runaway inflation. A couple of days ago, I played for you a clip that a listener sent me via Twitter. This is apparently at the University Village QFC store. And it sounds like it was an employee, was just video recording. Looks like an older guy. And he just, he does it on a regular basis. He just takes a shopping cart up the beer aisle, fills it with hundreds of dollars of beer, and then he wheels it out of the store. And none of the employees do anything. Store policy is to not intervene. We don't have enough police to respond to this. So these are the people completely unaffected by inflation. The criminal thieves.
One, two, three, so like $100. You're just going to walk out the door. We can't do anything about it, which is ludicrous. Well, he's going to try to walk out the door. Yeah. For some reason, this company doesn't care. And this guy doesn't care. He doesn't even have the dignity to hit other stores. He just comes back, hits us. Look at this guy. Look at him. Just walking out. Walking out. Yeah, there he goes. There he goes.
What kind of a chump am I? I actually pay for my groceries, so I'm affected by inflation. If you pay for your groceries, you're affected. This guy steals beer every week. He's completely untouched by inflation. Finally, somebody has figured out how to make the Biden economy work for them. Nice job, criminals. We'll check the news for you here at the top of the hour, and then the Fast 15 is coming up next.